Microphone check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Grab you a drink, get in sync. We two assholes with a podcast, and we don't give a damn what you think. This is the Two Cents and Nonsense podcast. I'm here with my homeboy, Matt.
What up, what up?
I am Antoine Weisslicker. Follow us on Twitter at 2Nonsense. That's the number 2, NONCENTS. Yes. Also, follow us on Instagram at 2Nonsense1. That's the number 2, Nonsense and the number 1. And don't forget to get into that Facebook community. Search 2Cents Nonsense in your Facebook search bar. Join the group. Post up. We'd love to have you. What's been going on, bro?
Shit.
Yeah, it's been rough this week, man. Rough week. Rough day, actually. Of course, you guys know we record these on Saturdays. We did do the last episode. We did a recap of the Snoop Dogg DMX versus battle with Jason being our special guest, even though he's more of a regular. He was there.
I don't know what social media is talking about, but Snoop won that hands down.
Snoop won that hands down, no question. The way we scored it, I think we had Snoop like 17-3. And it wasn't even the fact that DMX wasn't playing good songs. He was playing good songs, man. It was just Snoop just had those hits, those classics that resonated with people. Charlamagne Tha God said it best on the Breakfast Club when they was previewing the battle. He said Snoop just got them nuclear bombs, and DMX, he's got some good weapons, but he don't have weapons of mass destruction. That's what he was saying before the battle even happened, because he knew it was going to be, he's called it. He said Snoop going to win in a landslide. So we felt the same way about that, man.
Hell yeah, we did. I felt X left. He left some tracks on the table.
He left some tracks on the table. Yeah. What was a couple of tracks that you thought he should have played that he left on the table?
I thought he should have played Blackout.
Blackout. Mm-hmm.
Off the Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood album. He barely, I think he played one of his tracks off of the Rough Riders album.
Yeah.
You know.
He actually only played one track off there. So, I mean, he might have left some on the table. But Snoop also left some stuff on the table.
Snoop could afford to leave a lot of stuff off the table.
He could.
With
he
his
could.
Catalog.
Yeah. So he had a pretty, it was a pretty good showing. If you watch the Versus battle, you know that the quality of those battles has increased exponentially. And it's a better feel. And you get a seamless battle without the connection loss, the audio issues, things like that. So if you watched one of the earlier Versus battles and it kind of soured you and you were like, I'm not going to watch another one of these, I advise you to go back, check these things out. You can start with this one, or you can start with the Jada Fab joint, or you can take 3 hours out of your day and listen to John Legend and Alicia Keys go at it. You can do whichever one you feel, but the production quality has increased amazingly. So check out those Versus battles, man. Support Swiss Beats, support Timbaland. They had a great idea with this, and it's working out for them.
Yeah, it is. I'm looking forward to future battles. There's battles I can't even say I'd like to see. There's artists I'd like to see, so.
Yeah. On our show, of course, we do a 10 for 10 battle. We probably are going to do one within the next week or so. Busta Rhymes versus Twista?
Well, I'm
is
ready.
Is the one we was thinking about?
No. I picked Busta. He picked Twista.
So Busta Rhymes versus Twista.
I think I'm going to wash Twista, personally.
Wash Hey, man. This is going to be a good one. We're going to do that within the next week or so. Of course, we're going to get back into the juice bar for you guys. to do a Rate the Bar segment. Matt been waiting on that. I don't want been slacking on it. I'm not even going to lie because I got to put this stuff together. But we're going to have that for you within the next 2 weeks.
You quit your night job. You got time.
Yeah, I got time now. But the first week, so yes, I'm no longer working overnights with Matt. I'm at home during the nighttime now. The first week that I was at home, the only thing I did was watch old movies that I've been missing. I watched Lock and Key.
That shit was good.
That shit is good. I think I got one more episode left to go on that, though. I've been, you know, spending a little more time with my lady. So that's good.
Yeah, it is.
So it's just, you know, life is coming at you and you're trying to do everything. But being that I got more time, I did what I said I was going to do. I started doing some of those walks. I've done it a couple of days so far. Not too much. It's been light work. But I'm going to get more intense with it in the upcoming weeks. So got to baby step it. Got to baby step it. Get my stretching.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
You're
going to speed walk from one side to the parking lot to the other?
Yeah, that's a long-ass parking lot, though. You can't say it's not. So,
no, the parking lot I walk to get to work, that's long.
That, too. But this joint wrap around. You can go around. But
stop making excuses.
I ain't making excuses. I'm just saying. I'm going to make it happen, bro.
Sounded like an excuse to me.
Nah, man. But, you know, also we want to give a shout-out to one of our new listeners by the name of Francine. She was in one of the Facebook groups.
What up, Francine? Thank you for listening.
You know, we appreciate her listening. I believe she wants to start her own podcast. And she actually asked me to be a guest on the show at some point. So whenever she starts that, we'll definitely support. We appreciate her listening to us. And, of course, we're going to support her when it's her time to go. Right now, she's just putting together ideas and things like that, which is great, you know. I tell anybody, if you want to do this, man, just do it, you know. We took a while to get it together, but I don't know. Well, we missed like 1 week, 1 or 2 weeks.
Probably two.
In a year's time, you know. Life came at us so fast, we almost missed this week. But luckily, everybody's fine, healthy, and pushing through.
Yeah, I ain't even going front. I was ready to sleep today. Until I got that text like, yo, I'm good. We can do this. Like,
yeah, you know.
It's like, all right, let me take my, I got a power nap.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, as well, man. Just continue to be safe out there. The reason why it was we didn't know whether or not we was going to be able to record today because sick. My was a little sick, won't feeling it, you know. But, you know, when you push through and you all right, you find out that you're not contagious, so I can't give him anything. He can't give me anything. It was all about the safety. That's what the main thing was. And we always going to put the safety before anything else. And we advise you guys to do the same. Be safe out there.
Yeah.
You know. On today's episode, it's one of those ones where we don't know what's going to happen. We just going to talk about some shit.
Nah, this.
What?
I was just going to say, we have no idea. So,
yeah.
What you get is what you get.
What you get is what you get. But the first thing, and no, we don't talk about politics that much. Matter of fact, we don't talk about it at all that much. But this one is one of our weird news stories for today. Stephen Miller, who is President Trump's top advisor. His grandmother passed this past week. On the death certificate, it was placed on there. Okay. It was placed on there that his grandmother passed at 97 years old due to early effects of the COVID virus. Now, being that COVID-19 was listed as a condition leading to the cause of death, which was respiratory arrest, they placed that she died due to the COVID-19 virus. Well, Stephen Miller says, no, she did not die due to the COVID-19. Because he is still trying to keep up the illusion that the COVID-19 is mild. It shouldn't be worried about. He is denying the fact that someone close to him passed from this virus. People, do not be that way. Do not be naive. Do not be jaded as to think that the COVID-19 can't affect the people around you.
It damn sure can. Wear your goddamn mask, social distance. That shit is for real.
Yeah. And Stephen Miller, the top advisor for President Trump, is denying the fact. He's just sweeping it under the rug that
they even fired Fauci.
Yeah. They fired Fauci, saying that everything that he said was wrong. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's no longer considered an expert in the field. He's telling you guys to wear your mask. Please wear your mask. The COVID shit is not a joke. It's not a game. People are dying from it. Now, I understand. It's less than a 1% mortality rate, which means less than 1% of the people that catch it die from it. But when you have millions upon millions of people that's catching it, that means 10 to hundreds of thousands of people are dying. That's not a small number, people. It's not a small number at all.
No, not at all.
So, please, wear your mask. Moving on to the next weird news story. If you go into a store and you wanted free chips, you're just going to go in there. You know, if you was younger, you'd probably just steal the chips, right? Mm. Or you just pay for the chips. But if you wanted the chips for free, you're probably not going to get that, right?
Probably not.
Well, Matthew Hawkins.
I was about to say, like, nigga, I'm in MH. You know what I'm saying?
Not you. Not you, Matt. Matthew Hawkins from South Wales, 19-year-old guy. He was playing video games online with his friends. You know, he got a little bit intoxicated, started drinking, got intoxicated, got mad. Disagreement happened with him and his friends. He was abusive. He was threatening this guy over the things, saying that he was going to stab him with a knife and beat him up. He got mad, took his headset off, and went to his local convenience store called Yummy's Pizza and Kebab House. He went into Yummy's. He wanted some free chips. He told the clerk, give me some free chips. Clerk said, why would I give you free chips? He said, because I got a knife. And I'm going to stab you.
For some chips?
For some chips. But not just any knife. What kind of knife did Mr. Hawkins have, you might ask? If you are threatening to rob somebody with a knife, what type of knife would you expect a person to have?
Don't tell me this nigga had a butter knife.
He had a butter knife. He had a butter knife. He was waving it at the clerk at the counter, telling him that he will fucking stab him. And then 15 minutes before he walked out. He was like, I'm coming back for my chips. I'm fucking robbing next door. With the butter knife.
That's ridiculous.
Who tries to rob somebody with a butter knife?
A black person.
No, this is Matthew Hawkins is not black.
Word.
This was in South Wales. It is England, bro.
Well, they're not allowed to have guns over there. So if you would have told me Wales, I would have been like, okay, it's a white person. I thought it was a stupid black American.
Nah. So, on our next news story here. If your wife wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning, are you okay with that? She just wakes up 4 o'clock in the morning every day to get her day started. Are you going to be completely upset about that if she disturbs you a little bit?
Why the fuck would I care? She going to work.
Well, this young woman isn't going to work. She wakes up at 4 a.m. every morning to do her morning devotion. She prays. Well, her husband, Anderson, he alleges that his wife disturbs him with her daily morning prayers.
That shit would disturb me too. You better shut the fuck up with that God shit. Get the fuck up out of here. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that.
Well, he is filing for divorce and citing the cause of the divorce is her waking up at 4 a.m. every morning to give her morning prayers when everybody else is sleeping and she should be asleep.
Yeah, keep that shit to yourself. Why you praying so goddamn loud to wake this nigga up? You supposed to be praying. He shouldn't hear a motherfucking sound.
Anderson.
He shouldn't hear a goddamn sound.
Anderson made it known that his wife, Prisca, I'm going to say her name is Prisca, does not comply with his decision as a head of the family and said that he's previously warned his wife not to attend church or recite these daily prayers that disturbs him while he sleep. And on those grounds, Anderson is asking the court that he terminate their union. This is over in Zimbabwe. Yeah. So, they've been legally married since 1993. They have 4 children. But he lamented that this strange attitude that his wife has is disrespecting his decisions as head of the household, and he should be able to get out of this marriage. The prayers are that bad that you got to get out the marriage, though.
If you don't believe in that, hell fucking yeah. It is that bad.
Yeah. They've been married since 1993, though. She's been doing this shit. It ain't like she just started.
Okay, well, she broke his rules. He probably told her, shut the fuck up with that bullshit. I don't want to hear it. And she ain't obliging no more.
Yeah. Hey, man. So you telling the bitch to pray quieter?
You shouldn't be saying nothing, period.
You shouldn't be saying nothing when you pray. Maybe sometimes she wants the words to escape her voice and go up to the heavens. Maybe that's what she wanted to do.
You ain't got to speak loud for God to hear you if that's what you believe in.
If that's what you believe in, you ain't got to speak loud for God. He know your heart. He know your heart. That's what they say. He know your heart. So you ain't even got to speak at all. He know your heart. But that's a bit much to be divorcing a motherfucker over, though. You know, I think they can work that out. Who knows? Next up, a couple went to register their son's name after they'd been quarantined. So they went to file his birth certificate. And the official at the register's office stated they would not oblige the name. You can't name your son this. I don't care. You can't name your son this. It is against the law, they said, to name your son this in New Zealand. Do you want to know what the young man's name was supposed to be? Lucifer Sheldon. They wanted to call their son Lucifer. The lady at the clerk's office, at the register office, said, no, I will not oblige. The couple left in utter disgust. The clerk said to the couple, and I quote, he will never be able to get a job with a name like that, and teachers won't want to teach him. They tried to explain to the lady that they're not religious people and that Lucifer is a Greek meaning for light bringer and morning. But she wouldn't listen. She told them that it is illegal in New Zealand to do this and that she would not file the paperwork for them to name their son Lucifer. They then had to go to the court system, and they actually did win that court case, but it is what it is. Could you imagine somebody telling you you can't name your son what you want to name your son?
I'll name myself whatever the fuck I want to name him.
Exactly.
What I write down on that birth certificate, that's what it is.
And you better fucking file this shit.
For real.
Before I smack the shit out of you.
I'll burn that whole goddamn place to the ground. Ain't no babies got no names. Fuck out of here. Shit. Ain't nobody gonna tell me what I can name my son.
You know. But the thing was, teachers won't want to teach him, and he won't get a job with that name.
What's the name?
Lucifer. Lucifer Sheldon is what they wanted to name their son.
I mean, okay. To me, that's a dog's name.
Lucifer?
Yes, because I know a dog named... I knew it's probably dead now, but I knew a dog named Lucifer.
Hey, man. Yeah.
And as far as Sheldon goes, that's my fucking favorite TV show. Get the fuck out of here.
Lucifer Sheldon. That was going to be his name. Lucifer Sheldon.
Shit.
So, but they deal with the case, and they got it done, man. Last one here. A man from Long Island, New York.
That's my home.
That's where you from.
Depends where on Long Island, though. I don't fuck with some of them niggas.
Huntington.
He from Huntington? Because I'm from Huntington. Let me find out this a fucked up nigga from Huntington. I know niggas is fucked up in Huntington, so let's do it. Let's do it. I better not know you, nigga.
Word. 25-year-old Robert.
Oh, he 25. I don't know you.
Robert William Berger of Huntington, New York, faces time behind bars. Why is he facing time behind bars? Well, the Long Island resident tried to fake his own death to avoid a jail sentence. But the phony death certificate his lawyer submitted had a glaring spelling error that gave away the fact that it was fraudulent.
Well, with the education from Long Island, you know what I'm saying? I'm not surprised that shit was wrong.
You're not surprised that it was wrong?
Nah. I don't judge him. I mean, is he for real dead?
No, he's not dead. He faked his death to get out of a jail sentence. But the death certificate that he forged had spelling errors in it that gave it away. as being a forgery.
Alright, dude. When you get out, you fuck that nigga up. Or you have somebody fuck him up while you in jail because he fucked your shit up. I'm all with whatever he tried to do.
He tried to fake his death to get out.
You know
out
what I'm saying?
You know?
Suffolk County cops, they ain't worth shit. And I know that because I live there.
He was only scheduled to do a year in jail for theft-related charges.
He would have did more than a year.
But he fled.
He would have did more than a year. Like I said, I'm from Huntington. I know them Suffolk County judges, cops. He would have did more than a year. They would have found a way.
And he allegedly used his fiance to pass along the bogus death certificate. At first glance, the death certificate looked official. But there was one big problem. There were spelling errors throughout the document, including the word registry, married, domestic status, residence, even the word security for social security number was spelled incorrectly.
Like, I'm trying to help. I'm trying to give you the benefit of the doubt. I think only one of those words should have been spelt wrong, maybe. You know what I'm saying? Maybe one of them.
I'm not done, dude. Because at the bottom where it says it's issued by the New Jersey Department of Health, Office of Vital Statistics.
But it's not even New York. But it's not even New York.
He got a New Jersey death certificate. And he lived in Huntington, New York.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
So he forged a New Jersey death certificate to give to officials in New York. And the words on his shit was spelled wrong.
I'm sorry, New York police officers, Suffolk County police officers, and whoever else I talked bad about. This nigga dumb. This nigga dumb.
So he tried to fake his death, but that's what happened when you can't spell and you forge documents in every word, almost all the legitimate words. These aren't the things that was typed underneath. Those were the words that were supposed to be already ingrained on the document. Social security number, registry, you know, deceased.
Oh my God.
So he's facing additional years for, you know, falsifying government documents, evading police, and faking his own death.
Good. That's terrible.
Yeah, that is terrible. All right. So, Francine did give us a topic of discussion. But before we get into that topic, I want to ask you, as a black man, what is your definition of success?
I think that varies from person to person. You know, like, I'm a simple man. Me being with my woman, being a homeowner, for me, that's a success from where I came from. I was homeless. Mm-hmm. Now I'm a homeowner. So fuck the bullshit. That's a success story for me.
From homeless to homeowner is a success story.
Yeah.
That is a success story. I would say about the same. Where I came from, and this is a true story. This is honest to God.
Mm-hmm.
When we were in high school, we had a teacher that looked at us, and she was reading off statistics. And she looked at us, and she said that, statistically speaking, half of you will not make it out of school. You won't graduate. You won't go to college.
Now, was she just talking to the black students or
everybody? Well, it was all black school, so yes. You guys won't make it out of college. You won't make it to college. If you make it to 18, because a lot of you won't make it to 18, you'll die before then. You'll be incarcerated before you reach 21.
Yo, first off, fuck that teacher.
Yeah.
Fuck that teacher.
These were disparaging words.
You, as a teacher, you're supposed to inspire. Just inspire. Inspire kids. Yeah. Not tell them this is your fucking ceiling, which is low as hell down here. Like, oh, you're going to be dead by the time you're 17, 18.
Yeah. And
like, oh, my gosh.
Being in that situation and in that environment, we saw that happen. A lot of people didn't make it.
I've seen it too, but I was never told that this is my ceiling. I was always, me as a kid, I was always told you can do whatever you want. Put your mind to it. Work towards it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was never told you're only going to amount to this.
Yeah. We were told that we were only going to amount to a certain thing. And every time, every birthday that I have surpassed those expectations of that one teacher.
Who's that teacher? Put their name out there.
The thing is, I can't remember the fucking bitch name. For the life of me, I just can't remember her name. But it was a history teacher. I remember that. It was a history teacher. You know, my brothers might know a little bit more because they had her too. And it was just one of those things. It was like, man. Maybe she thought it was motivation, but it was fucked up.
That's not motivating.
To say to some kids in high school, you know. But every birthday that I've surpassed those expectations, those statistics, I believe is a success story for me. Me not being a statistic is a success story for me. You know, we talked about comments that Nick Cannon stated on his podcast called Cannon's Class. But Francine wanted us to speak about one of the comments that he made on there as well. Okay. This was in a different episode where he stated that black men see white women as success, as a way to show that you are successful. White women are that sign of success.
Now, does she believe that, or is
she doesn't believe that.
Okay,
she doesn't believe that. She thought that that'd be a good topic of discussion.
Is she black, white?
She's black. Yeah, she thought that would be a good topic of discussion for us. As black men, do we feel that white women in our society are a sign of success?
In my personal opinion, I'm going to say no. We don't think that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm going to be honest. I'll say you know, it's all in a man's preference.
Right.
You know, some men prefer white women over black women. Some men prefer black women over white men. I mean, over
white women.
Over white men.
It's cool, you've been drinking. I understand.
Yeah.
but yeah, I personally don't feel like that's the case. But the perception of society is that once a black man becomes successful, he comes into some money, he's got that white woman right there. So some people may look at that as a sign of success. You got the cars, the house, you know, you're taking the trips, the vacation, and there you have that white woman hanging on the coattails. She's right there. maybe people may misconstrue that as a sign of success.
Well, for one, most people don't know how long that person been in a relationship with that person.
They could have been there from the beginning.
You know what I'm saying?
They could have been riding it out. Exactly.
You
know,
you got to think about that. You don't know.
Yeah.
And also, I hate to say this, and this is going to sound fucked up.
We say a lot of fucked up sounding things on here.
It's the truth. White people know how to handle money better than black people.
This is true.
Being in that type of situation.
This is true. And we're not saying that black people don't know how to handle money. We're not saying that at all. But over time, because white people, they've been in situations where they have that generational wealth, their family knows how to skirt the system a little bit better than ours. They know how to get credit loans. They know how to get loans for certain things that they need.
It's
not
even that they know how to do it. It's just that they can get it.
Yeah, it's given.
They don't even have to know how to get it.
You know?
Regardless of sometimes what your credit score is or whatever the fuck. You're white, so, oh, we got you. We're going to give you this. And sorry to say, that be the case sometimes.
It does. And
you know, I'm not trying to be racist or nothing. I'm just telling it how it is. It's harder for black people to get a loan to do something.
Right. And again, that also the things that they are taught on the financial side of things, we are not taught. When you grow up in the projects and things like that, you're not taught that buy things with credit to build that up. You're taught if you don't have the cash to get that, you can't have it. And that's not true.
The only thing I'm going to say about that, I think that's the teachers and maybe the area you grew up in.
Correct.
Because when I was in high school, I learned how to do the stock market, how to do banking,
right,
how to do all of that. So I think it's where you're at and what teachers are trying to teach you.
Right, the environment.
And I'm happy to have learned how to do that shit. Because if I ain't learned how to bank, how to write a fucking check, you know what I'm saying? Little shit like that. Like, if you don't know how to write a check.
Yeah. So it's little things like that we have to teach our youth more often moving forward. We have to be able to build that generational wealth. But going back to the question, is white women considered a sign of success? People may look at it that way. We personally don't feel it's that way. But when you see the successful black man with the money, and you see the white woman, okay. But statistically speaking, black men, 86% of the time, they marry a black woman. That's the majority of the time. They're marrying a black woman. But we also have to look at stereotypes and media perception, how things are perceived online. Of course, they're going to throw the negative indications into you. They're going to throw the negative indicators out there.
I want to say this, and I'm going to put this on the record for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for mixed race babies. I love that mixed race.
Right.
I love it. Whether it's black and white, black and Asian, white and whatever. Like, I love that shit. I do. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, it's breaking down barriers. It's, you know, mixing all the races together, creating one race. I understand that. It's a beautiful thing for that to happen. But on the same token, a lot of people don't think that way. A lot of people don't like that. You know, a lot of people will.
You want to know what it is, though?
Parents and things like that.
It's the older generation, older than us.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's all taught.
I think the younger generation, they're getting away from that.
Yeah, it's all taught, though. You know, when you got kids on a playground, they don't give a fuck what color you are. We playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, racism, prejudice, bias, that's all taught. Because when you're a kid playing on the fucking playground, sliding down the slide, playing tag and shit, you don't care what color that person is.
Like, yeah.
Y'all playing.
I'm going to tag your ass.
Yeah, you plain guys are playing. So, when you see that this kid then grew up and now they're a teenager and they're at school or they're out in society and they're saying, oh, I don't like black people or I don't like Asian people or I can't stand these white folks. You were taught that. Somebody taught you that. You learned that from someplace.
Yeah.
Because when you were a kid playing on the playground, you didn't give a damn what color the person was. Y'all was just kids playing around. Mm-hmm. You know, people say that you are born innocent. You're born with no preconceived notions. You're just there. You're just in the moment. And you are taught to be evil, vindictive. You're taught to be all these other different things. And that is absolutely true. Because as a child, you don't think about that stuff. I wasn't born to say I don't like white people. That's not how I was born.
Yeah, I ain't even. I love white people.
Yeah.
I can honestly say in my life, ain't no white person ever called me nigga. I have never been disrespected from a white person because I'm black. You know, maybe they kept that shit to themselves, but I didn't really go through any of that.
Right.
I really didn't. So now,
unfortunately, I cannot say the same.
Yeah, well, you was raised in the South. So.
But again, I did not let that tarnish the perception of all white people everywhere for me. Because when I moved up north, I got a lot of love. And I was a little apprehensive at first. Like, wait a minute, dog. Mm-hmm. Back your ass up. You know what I'm saying? Like, hold up. But, you know, I got a lot of love up here from white society and white people. And it's like, wait a minute. Like, I've never experienced mm-hmm. that deep of a love. Like, the white people that liked us down south was motherfuckers who grew up in the same fucking neighborhood we grew up. Like, mm-hmm. you motherfuckers was broke, too. You know? But moving up here, up north, it was a little different. Now, don't get me wrong. There is racist people everywhere. You can't escape that shit. It's there. It's everywhere.
And just for the record, there are black racist people, too. There are black people that just, for whatever reason, don't like white people. So I don't want to just make it out to be like white people are racist against black people. There's black people out there that just don't like white people.
Yeah. And, you know, for people that say we shouldn't treat those people bad because of what their ancestors have done, we understand that. That is true. But if this motherfucker is coming along and his parents and his grandparents and his grandparents' grandparents have all taught him to be racist, I must blame him for the shit that he is doing. I must. Because he learned it from them and he's taking that knowledge and he is implementing it, I must blame him for what his ancestors have done. because he's doing the exact same thing. Not all people can be lumped into one category. We understand that.
No, they can't.
But when you have that outlier that is doing the things that his ancestors and their ancestors have done, you must hold that person accountable.
Try to educate that person before you hold them accountable.
Yeah, I mean, if you try to educate a person and then they're just not taking the education, then of course, you know, that's a lost cause. Like, you can only try but so much to educate a person.
That's true.
Either they're going to listen or they're not going to listen. Either they're going to take in the information or they're not going to take in the information. We ourselves have been naive to some of our black history. We understand that. But there's things that we going back, we reading up on. We looking at things to figure it out. We're researching just so that we know. We know what we don't know. We know we don't know everything. And we'll never get on this podcast and tell you, yeah, we know that. We know everything. We know what we talking about on every single subject, because we don't.
You know sometimes why I side with white people, and this is just from me, from what I've seen, like, when black people are in groups, a lot of times they don't know how to act.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And me as a black man, that should be scary to me. So I can understand how it'd be scary to a white person.
I mean, you going out, when black people get in groups, and white people, it happens with them too, in like mosh pits and shit like that. When people get into groups, they get rowdy, irritated, the hair trigger tempers. It happens. But when you are sitting there and you're seeing a mob of fucking people wowing out, that shit is gonna scare you. I don't care what color you are. If you're in the middle of that shit, or that shit is right in front of you, 5 feet in front of you, you are fearing the consequences of what may happen here. Because you don't know. Am I going to make it out of this shit? What if I get trampled?
Times are also different from when I grew up.
Yeah.
Than what they are now. Like, for those who don't know, I'm 37. So, back in the early 90s or late 90s or whatever, I see a group of black people, I'm like, oh, there's about to be a fight. Something's going to happen.
That really hasn't changed. That really hasn't changed.
I don't know, because I don't be out there like that. I'm just saying from how I grew up. Like, when I see a group of black people, like, I know there's going to be a fight. Yeah. I know some bullshit's going to have to be down. I know not to be there.
Yeah, that really hasn't changed.
I don't know how it is now. You know, I've seen peaceful protests, and I'm happy for it. I love it. I love seeing that shit. I love seeing that shit because it makes me think that, you know,
we can come together without being violent.
Yes.
You know, we can come together without being violent.
Absolutely.
I believe that is the way for us to change. We have to change how the world perceives us. We have to stop putting out into the world all that negative shit. We as black people have to stop posting the World Star Fight videos. We gotta stop doing that shit. We have to stop doing that shit. We have to stop posting the domestic violence videos of the black man beating on his woman, or vice versa. We have to stop that. We gotta stop sharing the fucking ratchet bitches in the club.
Basically, what he's saying, stop sharing the negativity.
Share the positive shit.
Share the positive shit.
You know?
Everybody, black, white, Asian, Indian, fucking whatever color, whatever race, Everybody does something negative. Everybody's doing something negative. But share the positive.
We need to share the positive to break those stereotypes, or to at least change the narrative of how we are perceived. We have to start putting out the positives. We share more negative shit than we share positive shit. Every time something negative happens, we sharing it and telling somebody, yo, laugh at this. But we're not taking that same energy and sharing something positive and be like, yo, applaud this. Share this.
Yep.
Applaud this. Share those 2020 graduates. Them motherfuckers didn't have a goddamn graduation. They couldn't go walk across the stage.
Yeah, and nobody cares about it.
You know, post their pictures.
I ain't even gonna lie. I'm not even gonna lie. Depending upon the grade you're in, I don't care about that shit either. Well, if you're not a graduating senior
high school, college, you're getting your degree.
I do not care about you graduating from first grade to second grade.
Yeah, that.
You know what I'm saying? And that happens all the time. I don't care about none of that.
You know, but let's celebrate people's accomplishments, man. And when somebody does something great or something unprecedented, stop hating on that motherfucker, man. Like,
yeah, for real.
You know what I'm saying? I understand you might not like the motherfucker, but stop hating on the nigga.
Like, it even goes beyond that. Like me. You know me.
Yeah.
I hate Tyler Perry movies. I don't like none of them.
But you respect the man Hustle.
Respect that man. He started his own company. He's got his own company. He started his own studio. That man puts black people on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That man goes to Walmart. It'll pay for your whole shit on layaway. Yes. You know what I'm saying? And he's done it.
So, I mean, you know? Yes, you don't like his movies, but you respect him. Respect him as a man.
I respect him as a man. I respect everything he does for the black community. Yeah, I may not like his movies, but what he does for us, there's no way I can disrespect that. No way in hell.
Yeah, you can't disrespect that. And, you know, when you have people that do things like that and come out and they make a way for others, yo, respect that man. We must protect someone like him. Now, if he out here doing motherfucking shit like R. Kelly and shit, no. You know what I'm saying?
That's why I'm mad at Nick Cannon so much. Because Nick Cannon had the platform to put other black people on. It doesn't even have to be black. He put white people on too. But he put people on. People that didn't have the platform that he has. He took people from YouTube, from Vines, when there were Vines, and whatever else, put them on TV, gave them a platform, showed their artistic view, and he ain't even got that choice no more because of the bullshit, literally bullshit, that man spoke.
Yeah. You know, could he have done things differently with that podcast, with that interview? Yes. He could have. Is he a human and make mistakes? Yes. Do I feel like, yes, he said some bullshit. Do I feel like he should have lost everything because of it? No, I don't. Like, you don't hear about this guy.
Yeah, but you want to know what? He also refused to apologize.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That makes it hard for you to side with him. He know he said some wrong. We know he said some wrong. Apologize for what you said that's wrong. He refused to do any of that.
Right. Yeah. And again, he cost a lot of people jobs. And again, I'm not just speaking about the people that were in front of the camera. My thing is the people that were behind the camera, behind the scenes, doing the work to make the show go. Those people are without right now. And it's unfortunate that one person and the things that he said could cost an entire brand
Yeah, their job. You basically cost a couple hundred people a job.
You know? When you have that type of responsibility, or you have that type of platform, and you're able to do that, you have the responsibility to other people.
Like, if we were to ever get that big, I know we won't, but if we were ever to get it big, I'd have to think twice about some
shit. We'd have to think twice about some shit that we say, man. Like,
we'd have to do some editing. We don't edit shit.
We'd have to be like, yo, hold on, man. Like,
maybe have a publicist that says, maybe you should say that.
You know what I'm saying? Now, word. Not to say, yo, we still not going to give you us, but we are responsible for other people at that point, goddammit.
Yes.
Like, if I'm responsible for some other people, like, I can't just leave John out there hanging. You know what I'm saying? Like,
for real.
Like, yo, John, the cameraman, he depending on his job, though. Like, I can't just be out here just saying whatever.
For real.
You know? But people don't understand that type of thing when people get that big. They just like, oh, he changed. He don't say the same stuff he used to say. Like, look, the man is responsible for 15 to 16 other people at this point. At Nick Cannon's level, he was responsible for hundreds of people. You're responsible for all those people. You know, you say something fucked up, their families don't eat.
Yep.
You know, are you okay with that? He might be okay with that. I don't know Nick Cannon, so I can't say that.
Well, like I said before, okay with that. The company that hired, what's the company?
Viacom.
Viacom. They better hire. I can't even. They better, you know, honor those people's contracts.
Yeah,
that's what I meant to say. Sorry, y'all. I'm drinking. Man. Sorry.
It is what it is. They need to honor the contracts. You know, hopefully they do that. You know, so. Another question here.
I just want to say, Monday, because y'all won't hear this till Tuesday. Monday is my brother's birthday. Aaron, he has been on the show. He has been on the show.
Happy birthday, brother!
So I just want to give him a birthday shout out for the show.
Giving him a birthday shout out on the show.
You know, y'all heard his drunk ass on the episode one time.
That was one of our most fun episodes.
That was our funniest episode. I'd love to get him back on there. That's on him. I'll ask him. But, you know, I just wanted, like I said, I want to give him a birthday shout out. So.
Definitely, man. That was a fun episode, man. I really enjoyed that. We appreciated having him on. We like when guests come on the show, man.
Yeah, man.
It's a good time. You know?
I ain't even gonna front. I want Hannah on the show, personally.
You want Hannah on the show?
I want Hannah on the show.
I've been trying.
I'm just saying, like, you know, Hannah, you hearing it from me, not just Antoine. You have an invitation. I want you on the show. We want you on the show.
Yeah.
You are a great listener, great follower, you know, great contributor. I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, man. I also, at some point, I know he works on Saturdays, though. Paul, if we can get Paul on a sports episode, hey. Man, I think that'd be great to get Paul on a sports episode, man. Especially when football season comes up here to talk to us about football and things like that. I think he's a Giants fan. I don't know for sure. I gotta ask him.
I hope you're a Giants fan.
I think he's a Giants fan, you know. Shout out to Paul, man. Paul's a good dude, man. He's good people. Yo, he did like the mystery boxes. So like you purchase sports memorabilia mystery boxes and mm-hmm. you get whatever they give you in this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Singletary signed mini helmet, dog. He got one of those. A Mike Singletary signed mini helmet. He got one of those.
Good for him.
And he showed me another one. And he was like, yo, you could be jealous of this one.
How much you pay for the box?
I ain't even ask him how much.
You got to ask how much you pay for the box.
I got to ask how much you pay for the box. But he showed me another one that he got. And I was kind of jealous. I was jealous. And he said when he showed it to me, he knew I was going to be jealous. Signed Marshall Faulk.
I knew it was Marshall Faulk.
The Super Bowl one, the mini helmet.
I want to know how much he paid and what site he got it from. He ain't got to tell on air. Yeah. He could tell us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So we definitely want to check that out, man. Moving along here, we got another question here. And this one is a little bit.
Okay. Whatever.
So,
whatever. Man, we here for it all. All
right. Is it okay for a straight male to be attracted to a stud female? You know, the chicks that wear the baggy shorts, dress like a man, bandage up their titties to press them down to make it look like they don't have them. You know, the young MA looking chick.
Absolutely, you're attracted to what you're attracted to. Plain and simple. You know, that's just how I feel. If that's what you like, if that's what you see, and you be like, "Ooh, I want that." Then that's what you want. It is what it is. I don't care. I don't care if you're male, female. You want another male. You want another female. I don't care about none of that. I really don't. I really don't.
But I think the question was, is it okay to still call that man straight if he is attracted to manly features on a female?
All right, well.
Different question. My bad. I just wanted to clarify it.
I'm going to say it depends.
Because the way, I'm going to be honest with you, the way I answered the question, I was like, yo, let's be honest. For me, because she carries herself like a man and she got manly features, that's not okay with me, bro. I can't do it. I'm not smashing that chick. That's not happening.
But if she lets you smash?
No, I'm passing.
Nah, that's completely different.
Nah, I'm passing.
Maybe once you take them bandages off and be like,
yeah, nah.
You can slide up in this.
Nah, I'm good. I'm passing.
That's you.
Yeah, I ain't with the manly features.
I'm not answering that question for me.
I ain't with the manly features, bro.
I will not answer that question for me.
I ain't with the manly features.
I'm just saying.
Bro. Can't be
you
me.
You know?
All right. So, there has been this is going to be our final topic for today.
Mm-hmm.
There has been a list circulating around of the 50 worst rappers. 50 worst rappers. Number one on that list, the worst rapper of all time, they say is Magoo from Timbaland and Magoo.
I completely disagree with that. I completely disagree with that.
Disagree with that?
Hell yeah.
So, the next names on the list, man, we could just run through these real quick. Blueface, Lil Yachty. Stunner for Vegas.
I don't even know who them people are.
Number five, Silk the Shocker.
Silk, he might be up there.
But he's they got him like as one of the worst rappers of all time.
And I feel Silk is one of the worst best rappers of all time.
Worst best.
Like he's one of the worst rappers of all time. But as far as if you put him with the worst best group.
Mm-hmm.
He's you know what I'm saying.
Number six, JoJo Simmons, G Herbo, 50 Tyson, Lil B.
I want to stop you right here.
Uh-huh.
You naming a bunch of motherfuckers I ain't never
heard
of
getting,
before.
I'm getting to them. I'm just rolling with them.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. So you ain't
these,
got
these littles and
yeah, these motherfuckers. I-20, OJ the Juice Man, Maddie B.
I heard of OJ the Juice Man. Yeah, OJ, he wasn't that bad.
They got him up here.
He wasn't that bad.
He was bad. Number 13, Vanilla Ice. Krayshawn is number 14. Black Tie. For those who don't know who Black Tie is, that's Tyrese. Ron.
First off, that Black Tie double album, yes. That shit was fire.
Fire.
That shit was fire.
Ron Artest is number 16. YFN Lucci, 17. Shaq, Riff Raff, Playboy Cardi, number 21. Nick Cannon, OG Mako, number 23. Mike Jones, number 24. Birdman, number 25. Bone Crusher. Number 26, Iggy.
Whoa. What Bone Crusher?
Bone Crusher.
His album or his...
No, the rapper, Bone Crusher. He had a song, I'm Outside of the Club.
I know that. That song is fire.
They got him on this list. He's number 25.
Fuck you, whoever put Bone Crusher on the album. I see that nigga in concert.
Yeah.
That song was fire. I see no other song after that. But that song, that's a hit.
That was a hit. He's on there. Number 26, Iggy Azalea. Number 27, Trinidad.
Iggy Azalea's first album was fire because T.I. wrote it. Fuck you guys. All right.
Number 27, Trinidad James. Number 28, Lil Pump. Number 29, McConan. You don't know him. We don't know him. Don't worry about it. It's cool. Number 30, Tony Yayo. Number 31, Gutta Gutta.
Yayo put out an album?
Yayo put out a couple albums, yeah.
He said a couple albums. Like, wow. Wow. I know he was featured on a couple tracks, but he put out a couple albums?
Yeah, bro.
Wow.
Gutta Gutta, Webby, Chingy at number 33.
50 put out Yayo albums over Buck? Wow. Who the fuck the Yayo body? Who the fuck the Yayo body? Oh, shit. God damn.
Number 34. This is one person I don't agree with. Earl Sweatshirt is on here. Number 34. Number 35. Another person I don't agree with. Freeway is on here. Number 35.
I played a Freeway track before we got on air.
Yeah. Number 36, another one I don't agree with. Ludacris is on here at number 36.
Hey, yo.
It's disrespectful. Yo, Luda could be top 50 rappers. He not one of the worst rappers.
Luda is at least top 20
yeah, crazy.
Rappers of all time.
Number 37 is Cassidy. That's fucked up. I ain't gonna do that man like that. Number 38, Designer. Number 39, Bow Wow.
Hold on. First off, Bow Wow shouldn't even be on the list.
He's on the list of 50 worst rappers. They got him up here. They put him on the list.
I can probably name 50 other worst rappers than him, and he shouldn't even be on the list.
Yeah, number 40 is...
He should be on a list that doesn't exist because he was that trash.
Oh, he should just be... He's middle-of-the-road rappers, that's what you mean?
He didn't write half of his rhymes.
Oh, okay. So he just shouldn't even be on the list at all.
He didn't even write half his rhymes.
Yeah. Number 40 was Flo Rida. Number 41, Shawty Low.
Flo Rida's trash.
Number 42, Chief Keef. Number 43, Plies.
Yo, don't shit on Chief Keef like
that. So the way this list is made, because we're going backwards, they are saying that Bow Wow, Flo Rida, Shawty Low, Chief Keef, Plies is next on the list. They're saying that all of those guys are better than Ludacris. They're better rappers than Ludacris.
Seriously?
Number 44, French Montana. Number 45, Slim Jimmy. Number 46, Memphis Bleek.
Memphis Bleek is...
Number 47, YG. Number 48, Tiger. Number 49, Logic. And number 50, 21 Savage. The best of the worst rappers. 21 Savage. 21, 21, 21.
Wow.
So I know you disagree with this list.
For anybody who said Luda is on this list, this is for you.
Mic check. 1, 2. I'm just gonna get right to it. Luda. Ain't nobody fucking with me when it come to getting lyrical, murdering a rapper and killing beats, nigga. I'm cinematic, making everybody panic. I be busting like a fully automatic to the heat, nigga. We could battle in the Phantom in Atlanta, the Rover in Minnesota, or the Arizona streets, nigga. They taking all these offensive lines. I snap back, it's the quarterback sneak, nigga. One time for the sneak disser. So puss ass fuck boy, say my name. Anybody coming at me know I never back down. Killing the rappers, my claim to fame. You lame. And my flows would expose any hoes, even on a nigga worst day. They saying Luda don't want it no more. Now, nigga, I'm as hungry. Here's the first day. What you want, how you want it, you can get it. I'm the definition of a real G from the south side. The crime scene, be the studio. Get the yellow tape and the talking. I'm leaving everybody outline. I'm all about mine. Getting paid, getting laid, getting clothes, getting hoes, getting greenback. Used to be like everybody is a little kid, now big boy. Outcast like three stacks. Legging all in the Cadillac with a red bone. Giving me dome, my music on with the seats back. Ludacris, this is album number 8. And my pockets gonna be straight, even if a nigga leaves that. Give me all up on a David Banner track with Janet Jack in the back. Like damn, Ludacris, dang. Break it down like you drop it to the ground. But we like the 808 in Atlanta, so bring the beat back. Had to eat that. Couldn't control alt or delete that. But put any other rapper on the track and I guarantee they'll never know how to treat that. I'm a boss, I'm a king, I'm a legend. I'ma drill it in your head till you doze out. And I just so happen to be the type of rapper that make your woman wanna take her clothes out. So let's get to the act. Let's get to the show. I've been getting to the Forbes list 6 years straight. Let's get to the dough. Shout out to the Luda Nation. All my fans just got live. And they ready for everybody to put me in the rapper category of the top five.
First off, that was Luda's 8th album, like he just said.
Actually, it was 9, if you count Incognito, but...
If you count that. Yeah. But, for anybody who put Luda on that bullshit-ass list...
Of worst rappers of all time.
Go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.
Hard.
Yeah, Ludacris hard. Is...
I'll buy your dildo so you can go fuck yourself. I will go buy your dildo so you can go fuck yourself.
Because Ludacris is top 20. Where did I put him on my list when we did our list?
I don't even remember.
I think he was top 10 with me. He was number 10, I think. Remember.
I just want to say that was Luda's intro to his album. And it wasn't even over. There's a whole other verse. There's a whole other verse to the intro to his album.
That was the intro to Ludaversal.
Ludaversal.
If you haven't heard that, go check that out. It's pretty damn good. Dare I say great.
Just the intro. You didn't even get to the furry bushes. Get the fuck out of here, man.
Yeah. Yeah, Ludacris is great, man. The guy is great. He is one of the greatest rappers of all time. So, yeah, man. He's up there, top 20. In my opinion, I think I might have had him at 10. My list is fluid. It depends on when, you know, what you drop. You know, you can't stay up at the top forever, in my opinion, unless you, like, if somebody gives me 5 great albums, they're up there. But then if somebody comes behind them and gives me 6 great albums, I'm going to probably move the next person up. That's just how I would do it.
Yeah, Tupac for me is the greatest of all time. That's not going to change. And Eminem is number 2. That's probably not going to change either.
Yeah, my number 1 is Scarface. That's probably okay. Not going to change because he's got like 17 fucking albums. 17 projects that he even put out that I love all of them motherfuckers, man. I'm number 2. I think I had M. But it's I think it's M because he's got more projects than Lupe. But Lupe's number 3, and then Royce and Pac is 4 and 5, I think. So
I hate your list, so
I don't care.
I know you don't. I'm just saying. Okay. I'm just saying, like, you put Lupe over Pac, like.
He's got more albums.
Like, go over there with that. Okay, Pac died when he was 25, and.
That's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah, he's got good albums. He's got good albums, but, you know.
Okay, and he dropped a bunch of nothing but fire. Well, they dropped a bunch of nothing but fire.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, I don't count the stuff that was dropped after he died. I just don't. I only count the first 5 albums.
Do you want me to play a bunch of tracks?
No. I know the tracks. I just don't count them.
How the fuck did you count them? Cause. He still recorded them.
Doesn't matter to me.
That's bullshit.
First 5 albums, man. That's all that count.
That's bullshit. I completely disagree. Hey, man. I completely disagree
with... I understand you disagree with the premise. It's cool, dog. I understand that. I don't count... Just like I don't count Big's 3rd album. I don't count it.
No, that shit was trash. That's different.
You know, I only count the first 2. That's it. That's why he's very low on my list.
Ooh, Big?
Yeah.
Big's not high on my list either.
Yeah, same thing with Big L. I only count like the first 2 because...
I count Big L higher than I count Big.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because Big L was better, fuck all you guys.
He was fire, you know what I'm saying? So, but it's just, you know, I only count the first 5, you know. Don't get me wrong, I love Pac, man. He's great. I'm counting the first 5.
Okay, well, agree to disagree. Cause
hey, man, he's your guy. And I don't have no problem with that.
Like I said, like, agree to disagree.
He's on the list. I'm not. I see if it was one of those things where I didn't put the nigga on the list at all. Like, yo, I was like, Pac, get the hell out of here. Like, if I said that, then I'd be like, all right, come on, bro. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Like, I ain't even gonna lie. I ain't got one Scarface track on my fucking... No.
You got some features.
No, I don't.
Because he featured on Pac's album.
I don't even add that.
Oh, you wally. See? The disrespect.
I can download it.
The disrespect is high. You got anything else for the people before we get out of here, man? Because the disrespect is high.
Tupac is the greatest rapper of all time.
Yeah, okay. Again, man, Scarface is the greatest rapper of all time.
Like we said, agreed to disagree. Yeah.
You know, some people might throw Jay-Z up there. Some
Yo,
people,
fuck you if you throw Jay-Z up
Some people
there.
Might throw Nas up there. Some people will throw Biggie up there.
Big know. Only dropped 2 albums. No.
You know?
Nas, please.
Some people might throw Coogee Rap up there. Some people will throw Big Daddy Kane, Rakim, you know. You got a lot of LL Cool J has been thrown up there. Some people.
LL Cool J has never been thrown up there.
He's never been thrown up there?
No. As truthfully, he should be, but he should not, but he has not been.
You know, when you talk about the greats, man, what? Snoop.
Nobody talks about Snoop as the greatest. We know. He ain't won a Grammy. All right?
Ice Cube.
I'm the only one who talks about Snoop as one of the greatest. All right?
You're not the only person in the world.
Yes,
about
I am.
Like
I don't see nobody else advocating for Snoop to win a Grammy.
I've been
not one of the, not you know.
Well, people don't advocate for him to win a Grammy because we all know, us loyal hip-hop people know that the Grammys is full of shit. So, no, we're not advocating for him to win a Grammy, but people call him one of the greats. He's up there in the greatest conversations. When they ask about greatest rappers, Snoop is mentioned.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is, man.
No, he's not.
No, man, I don't know.
They mention little people like Drake and Lil Wayne and Kendrick, and they barely even mention Pac anymore.
Yeah,
you know I'm right. Nah,
the oversaturation.
Like nobody ever talks about Cube, and we all know goddamn well Cube. Shit. Yeah.
The oversaturation of Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole. The talks about them two guys is irritating to me. Like J. Cole is NyQuil on the record. Like, he is musical NyQuil.
Yes.
He is literally.
I hear J. Cole, I'm going to sleep.
And Kendrick Lamar irritates the fuck out of me with all those goddamn voice changes on one track. It irritates me. You know? But it is what it is. Now, you saying Tupac is the greatest of all time and me saying Scarface is the greatest of all time got us to an extra 7.5 minutes after I asked if you got anything else for the people. So I'm going to ask you one more time. Do you have anything else for the people? And don't come with no fucking bullshit.
Yes, I do.
Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up.
What the fuck?
Get up. I just want to hear Usher be nasty. We're gonna love you. Yeah.
Baby.
Whoa. I ain't making that noise.
Coming right on me like the waves. I flipped the pages because I wrote the book.
The views and opinions of the last 3 minutes of the podcast are not those of Antoine. The last 3 minutes of the podcast.
This is for the ladies. Shut the fuck up, nigga.
You say you love how I eat on that pussy. You just might go put a tat on that pussy.
On that pussy.
Usha.
Ain't no other than Mac.
You got that juicy love. When I make it come, I make it cushy. I'm the champion lover.
Damn, the copyrights on this motherfucker.
We don't get no listeners, so it don't even matter.
When I hit your G, it feel like you gon' be, baby, come for me.
Yeah.
Fuck you back to sleep, girl.
All right. That's for you ladies. I love y'all.
We love you guys. As always, man, we appreciate you guys rocking with us.
Antoine did not appreciate that shit. Y'all should have seen this nigga face. He did not appreciate that shit.
We appreciate you guys as always rocking with us, man. This has been the Two Sis and I Sis podcast. That's been my homeboy, Matt.
Yeah.
I've been Antoine Wise Slicker. We appreciate you guys as always, and we out.
We out.